BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hello, I'm Adam.
Hey, I'm Joe. Welcome to the Adam and Joe podcast, the edited highlights of last Saturday's live radio show.
Brilliantly edited, could I just say.
Thanks a lot. I didn't do it, but I'm going to take the credit anyway.
No,
thanks.
It's done by our producer.
Yeah, Claire would have done it this week, but thanks to me for something, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
listen, it's funny to think, isn't it?
Funny to think, it is.
No, it's funny to think about the future.
Right.
Of podcasts, because it's a very particular moment in technological history, isn't it? iPods and podcasts and all that. And soon, probably sooner than we think, something else will come along. And well, they'll just vanish, won't they?
It'll all be video stuff. I mean, the audio-only podcast will seem very quaint.
Yeah, but that's like saying that television would kill radio, but that hasn't happened.
Hasn't it?
No.
Oh, come on, add a little bit.
Do you think... But would you think this podcast will be in existence?
Listen,
you're asking
me a lot of questions.
I've got a survey here.
About like, what I think.
There's 124 questions in this survey. What does Adam Buxton think it's called?
I very seldom think.
Well, you've got to
start thinking. Do you not realise that yet? Did you listen to the show today?
I did. I thought you were thinking a lot.
I was thinking very little. I was squirming a little bit.
Why?
Because we got into a couple of little squirmy areas.
I nearly said a rude word. I was about to say the word sun-kissed.
You said the C word.
And I swapped. What's it called? There's a name for it when you swap.
Spoonerism.
Spoonerism. I spoonerized it.
Anyway, but if you listen to the show again in its entirety, listeners, which you can do on Listen Again on
You'll
the BBC Six Music website.
You said a word that could have been construed as racist.
I was quoting a racist word.
Said it.
I know. It was wrong to actually report the word. I was reporting a racial slur by a teacher, and as I said it, I thought shouldn't really have reported
that
word.
So, you know, it's been a tricky show, and maybe you'll be able to detect some of that atmosphere of anxiety during the edited highlights.
Enjoy!
Watch out, it's Adam and Joe, coming from space to your brain. They got a little pack of highlights from the Six Music Show for you to hear again.
They got rid of all the music. And the bits were incredibly crappy. So now there ain't a whole lot left, but hopefully enough to keep you happy. Here we go.
I went to the theatre this week.
Oh.
Yeah, the theatre. Do you remember the theatre?
Yeah, I do. I try and avoid the theatre. Mm. What did you go to the theatre for?
My lady friend bought tickets, so I went along.
Does she love the theatre?
She likes to see... We like to see things, you know.
Mm.
This is a play that's going on in London, in the Old Vic, which is run by the great Hollywood actor Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Speed the Plough.
Speed the Plough.
I've been thinking about going to see Speed.
Really?
I was going to break my no theatre rule to go and see that.
Well, I done it.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Oh, come on.
It was pretty good. I tell you who else is in it.
Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum.
He's amazing. I love Jeff Goldblum.
He is amazing. And you know what? The thing about Jeff Goldblum is that he is obviously physically extraordinary.
Yeah, he's got the best hand gestures in the business.
Absolutely. But in the movies, you seldom get a full body shot of Jeff Goldblum. So you don't get a chance to watch his hands moving in consort with his feet and head and other bits.
He's hugely tall, isn't he?
He's hugely tall. He might even be taller than me, maybe. I don't know. I'm pretty hugely tall.
Yeah.
But, man, he looks amazing.
How tall are you?
45 feet.
45 feet. That's hugely tall. I mean, that's too tall.
Mm. It's impractical.
You're about six...
No, I'm 6'2".
6'2".
And a bit.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but he's a big chap, and he's got huge hands and a tiny head, which is very exciting to look at. What's going on? You feel like you're at the foot of a mountain or maybe on drugs because nothing's the right proportions.
He looks a little bit like the action figure that came out for his Jurassic Park character.
Right. Well, no surprises there. Mm. Or maybe that is a surprise because action figures
do you remember
the likeness right.
He had a big chunky body and a tiny head, that's true.
Anyway, watching him move around in full body was extraordinary.
Mm.
And Spacey does a good job. He tries very hard as well.
What's it about? Brief synopsis.
It's about a head of production at a studio and a producer, and they're fighting, and they've got a big pitch to make in the morning, and they're deciding whether to do a crappy movie or whether to do an adaptation of an amazingly profound sort of philosophical novel.
Mm-hmm. And it's by David Mamet, the play.
And there's a sexy girl who I think in the first production was played by Madonna. She's like the intern, and she's passionate about the novel.
Mm. And who's it played by here? Kat Deely?
You know what? I don't know the name of the actress. I didn't look at the programme.
Kat Deely.
It was Kat Deely, which is brilliant. It was Natasha
Kaplinsky. She's brilliant. Kaplinsky dazzles.
Yeah. That's very bad of me not to know the name of the actress, but she was radiant and marvellous.
Was it Honeysuckle Weeks?
Yes. Who's that?
Don't you know who Honeysuckle Weeks is?
No.
She's in Foyle's War.
Really?
Yes. She's attractive. Anyway, carry on. I don't think it is Honeysuckle.
Anyway, the last point was, my final point is, there is an atmosphere of terror at the Old Vic. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it's run with a rod of iron by Spacey.
Right.
And he shouts at people if their phones go off.
Does he?
Do you remember that story?
Yes, I do.
If your phone goes off during the production of Speed the Plough,
you get scolded.
The play will stop.
By K-Pax.
Spacey will come out of character. And like a teacher, he will turn to you and shout at you.
Right.
So I think this was at the forefront of everyone's minds in the auditorium. It was a bit like a class of children sitting down for a talk given by big Hollywood men. And someone's alarm did go off. It was on Buzz.
What did K-Pax do?
Well, it came at a point when there was a dramatic pause.
Yeah.
So it was a very dramatic pause.
Oh,
he didn't know
no.
whether he was going to, but no, he got over it.
He ignored it.
But I could have been embarrassed in the theatre.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's a bit of an artificial situation, isn't it?
Well, it certainly strips away all the levels of craziness and you're confronted by the ludicrousness of acting, aren't you?
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd.
Yeah.
Especially when dramatic things happen. And there's lots of moments in this play where someone will shout and then go really quiet for a long time. Do you know what I mean? And that's why I can't stand you! Like that. And my brain is just going, so wanting me to make a noise or throw something. At another point, Spacey pushes over an aluminium ladder in fury.
Ooh.
There's a very long silence after that. He really milks that. Everyone's going, panting on stage.
That's the next production, Milk the Silence.
Really, that would be good. Under-milked silence.
Yeah, over-milked silence even.
Yeah. But Goldblum, what a genius. His hands.
I love him, man.
They were doing amazing things.
I'm up
things.
For pretty much anything that he's been in, Goldblum.
Would you sleep with Goldblum?
Definitely.
In a bar? Somewhere near the Old Vic?
What, sleep with him in the bar? Can I not go home to bed with him?
No, I hadn't finished.
Oh.
One of his huge hands settled on your tiny knee. It's sounding a bit awful, isn't it?
No, I like it.
His beady eyes in his tiny head.
Nothing you're saying is putting me off.
He's very thin. He obviously works out.
His
suits are beautiful. The best thing about the production was Goldblum's suits.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks great in a suit.
I fancy him. He's the opposite of me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
I love him.
It's like Captain Caveman and Crazy Legs Crane making love.
Text the nation. Text, text, text. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
This week it's a confessional Text the Nation about terrible things you've done to teachers. That particular period in your mid-adolescence when something chemically inside you forces you to push the boundaries of the world. Do you know what I mean?
When you say you, are you mainly talking about yourself?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying
sure.
Me, you.
Yes, of course.
But I think every teenager goes through a phase where they kind of have to experiment with the limits of human endurance.
Mm. And humour endurance as well.
I can't actually talk this morning.
No, because a lot of the time, you know, the teasing, once you find a teacher who's a little bit vulnerable and one person starts going at that teacher and teasing and niggling a little bit, that teacher is doomed if they don't immediately squash the humour front.
So we're looking for your shameful stories and we're not trying to sort of aggrandize this kind of behavior.
No, this
we want confessional stuff. We want people who are sorry for taking advantage of their teachers in a terrible way. For instance, when I was at school, I picked on a particular teacher who I'd identified as maybe somebody who couldn't fight back, and I burst into her history class. I wasn't in the class. I had a kind of free study period, but I wasn't studying. I burst into her class sort of dressed as a Ghostbuster.
Mm.
With first of all, I pushed a friend into her class. He was covered in a sheet. He was a ghost. I pushed him in first, waited a couple of minutes for him to have done a bit of haunting, then got a fire extinguisher and, I don't know how else, maybe a satchel on my back, and burst in claiming I was a Ghostbuster. I didn't set off the fire extinguisher, but I chased him round the classroom.
I think I was in that class.
Possibly.
As a
Ghostbuster. and then chased him out again. It caused a brouhaha. The teacher got very, very angry.
Of course.
So about 10 minutes later, I took one of those horrible paintings you have on the wall of a school, Constables the Haywayne, a nasty print with bits of bubble gum all over it.
Yeah.
I took it off the wall. I walked into the classroom. This is the most awful bit that makes me feel really genuinely ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I started an apology. I said, "Miss, I'm really, really sorry. That's such an awful thing to do. I'm sorry I disrupted your class." She believed me at this point. I was being very sincere.
Oh,
and I said, "So as a gesture of apology, we'd like to present you with this copy of Constables the Haywayne."
Right. And what did she do then?
She cried, I think. She got really upset.
Yeah.
It was really horrible.
She wasn't crying because she was so touched, though, was she?
No.
She was crying because she was completely humiliated.
It wasn't, you know, a genuine version of the Haywayne. It was just a print.
So do you ever wake up sweating and sort of thinking, what the hell was I thinking about?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
And this is an official opportunity for you, Joe Cornish, to say, "I'm sorry."
I'm sorry.
"He's only necking, miss."
That is Portishead and Magic Doors. That is not the track they played on Jules Holland.
Didn't you like that one as much as the one they played on Jules Holland?
No, I did, no.
Is that their single?
No, it's not. That's just a track from the new album, which is called Third, and apparently it's good. I don't know. It's one of those albums that's been getting between 3 and 4 stars, you know?
Do you know what's funny about the timing of Portishead's comeback?
No.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Thanks.
Is that things have gone depressing again.
Yeah.
When all those Bristol bands became big, it was during the recession, wasn't it, of the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
And things seem to be going that way again. At least all the papers are very keen for it to go that way
Financial
again.
Crunch, that's when Porter's head come out of the shadows.
Exactly. They've timed it. They just keep their eye on the stock market. Whenever shares plunge, bang, album.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. If you're a new listener, Song Wars is the part of the show where Adam and I make homemade songs on a theme, and then we play them both, and they kind of fight each other through the medium of listener votes.
It's the closest you can get to a competition on the BBC
these
days.
Competitions have been banned.
Because they're evil. But it's okay for the presenters themselves, because we're trained to scrap it out, to have a little competitive scrap.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Joe...
Plus there's no prize.
No, there's no prize.
Or it's the greatest prize of all.
What is it? Respect.
Pride. Respect.
Respect.
Yeah.
So do you think you're going to be winning the listeners' respect today?
I don't know, but I do know this, that the overall score for Song Wars is nearly neck and neck, isn't it? Isn't it even neck and neck? For a while, I had a commanding lead and was resting on my laurels, but not anymore.
Yeah, it was like Laurel and Hardy.
It was. In what way?
Well, a sort of tall bloke and a slightly chunkier bloke.
Right.
And one of them was resting on his laurels.
What does that mean?
Laurel and Hardy!
Yeah, no, that's good. So this week's theme has been festivals.
This is very, very straightforward. It speaks for itself. It's called Festival Song by Adam Buxton. Here it is.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Gazman, it's the Julinator. Just to let you know, I bought the tickets for Sludgefest, as well as Chillax, Wicker World, the Inoffensive Electronica Festival, Wet Weekend, and Pimps in the Park with Timbuk3 headlining. Drop us a text if you think I've missed any. Cheers, ears.
Load up the 4x4, it's festival time. We're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine. We're going to sleep inside a collapsible yurt. We've got a nurse in case anybody gets hurt.
Festivals used to be awful, just Krusty's weirdo groups. There was nowhere to charge your mobile and nowhere nice for doing poops. Now they're often in stately homes with global cuisine that's ace. And you can leave the kids in a really nice creche while you get off your face.
Hip hip hooray, it's time for festival fun. We've got our hats and our sun cream in case there's some sun. But when it rains, we've got our green welly boots. And if we feel the love, we've got our birthday suits.
Look, kids, that's Keith Allen. That's Lily Allen's dad. He's been coming since the 50s, and apparently he's really mad. And over there, that's Katie Moss. That's right, that crazy druggie's ex. Let's ask her if she'll join us for a boogie and some sex.
Everybody over to the advert stage. Movies on, oh yes. Then it's Groove Armada with the theme from M&S. And then it's a bloke that I don't really know with a tune from a phone campaign. And then it's...
suns with the Iceland song, then movies on again.
We've got some chill pills, some Whizwas and a gram of some stuff, but I'm a little bit worried that won't be enough. So could you call Jemima and ask her to bring a bit of rice, some jelly and a big ball of string, and don't forget the Barocca and the yoga mats too, because there's going to be healing and yoga to do, and there's a bloke from Tibet who can teach us to breathe, and after that we'll see Moby, then we'll probably leave. Load up the 4x4, it's festival time, we're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine, we're going to sleep inside the collapsible yurt, we've got a nurse in case anybody gets hurt. Load up the 4x4, it's festival time, we're stuffing the chill bag with nibbles and wine, we're going to sleep inside the collapsible.
It's a fade out.
Yeah,
I don't think we've ever had a fade out on Song Wars before, have we?
Yeah, I've had a couple of fade
really?
Outs.
Really? I like a fade out. That was quite a classy festival you were singing about.
Yeah, really
quite
classy.
Quite a posh one.
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, did you have any particular festival in mind?
Just all of them.
Just all of them.
I mean, you know,
it sounded quite like quite an exclusive country house one, maybe.
I haven't, because I went to a country house one years
ago. For a slightly older crowd?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. For slightly ravey, ex-ravers.
Yeah.
Who are now looking for a comfortable festival, nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
They certainly don't want to get burglarized.
No.
But they would like to do a little bit of ravey dancing and maybe have some fizz whiz.
Somewhere safe for the kids.
Exactly.
While they do that, yeah.
That's right.
Some fizz whiz.
Yeah.
Some chomfers.
That's right. Yeah. And so thematically, were you on the same kind of...
Sort of. Mine's a more kind. Mine's specifically about Glastonbury, and it's a kind of song from the point of view of a couple of boisterous lads who are preparing to go down to Glastonbury. But I would point out that there are a couple of similarities between our songs: the spoken word intro,
yeah,
and a mention of pooing.
Of course. Well, I mean that is one of the central
one of the
things,
central yeah pivots of the festival experience. So here's my one. I'm not really sure what it's called. I think it's just called the Glastonbury Song. But here's song number 2 in Song Wars.
Right, yeah. Registered, downloaded, correctly formatted. Passport photo, paid £164, yeah. Including booking fee, college did you book the code to cover 10. And now,
me and my mate Terry, we're going to Glastonbury. We're going to have a very good time. Don't care if it's all muddy, we'll just dive in the nutty. And dance and drink and try and snog girls. I'll try to get on telly, right, hello mum on my belly. Eat falafels, then fall over, then be sick. And if someone licks our tent, I'll get angry and violent. Punch a hippie, smoke a ciggy, then be sick again.
Last time I was here, I ate a space cake, and it made me feel all giggly and like I was in love with everybody in the whole world. Tried to hug them all, but their faces turned into demons. I passed out in the mud and missed the Arctic Monkeys. Don't do drugs.
So what we'll do this year is just drink a lot of beer, buy a jester's hat and throw things at Jay-Z. I hate those Portaloos, so for 3 days I won't poo. Then I'll do one by the road on the way home. See Hot Chip, then have some nice hot chips. Meet a sexy girl and get on really well. She'll take me to her teepee and hopefully sleep with me. We'll text for 2 weeks, then never see each other again.
Oh, Glastonbury's gonna be wicked.
There we go. So it's the Glastonbury song versus, what was your one?
Just the festival
the
song.
The festival song. Couple of inspired titles there.
Nice.
We're in the midst of Text the Nation, and we're asking you about shameful things you've done to sort of pick on a teacher, and we're not aggrandizing this kind of behaviour. No, we look down on it.
Yeah, no, definitely. We don't want to hear just horrible stories about bullying that you've been doing
to
teachers.
No, we want to hear kind of sort of St Trinian's, Billy Bunter-style, Beano-style activity. We don't want stabbing and text bullying and all these nasty, naughties behaviours, do we?
No, exactly.
We want to go kind of period with this.
Japes.
Japes is the word.
Yeah.
Lovely japes. So here are some what have come in. This is from someone called Rill in Peckham. He or she says, I'm from Oz, so you don't need to worry about names. In year seven, my classmates dared me to ask if our teacher was a virgin. So I stuck up my hand and said, Miss, have you ever been mated? She went bright red.
Mated.
Mated. I like that. Here's another one from Sophie. Not me, but my brother used to do classroom surfing. The game was to stand on one's desk while teacher, Mrs. H's, back was turned.
Mm.
Particularly difficult as the classroom was very small. Six desks only in it. Poor woman.
Desk surfing.
So you had to actually get up on your desk. Yeah. And then, I suppose, down again before you were seen. That's good. I like that.
That's not a bad game.
That's a very good game. These are just games. They're innocent games.
They could do that in the House of Commons. That would be fine.
They should do that. This sort of thing goes on in the House of Commons. It's part of the national character.
Exactly. All right. Gordon Brown, he definitely does that.
Here's another one for someone called... no, this is an anonymous text, but the trickery was aimed at someone called Mrs. Moose. Not a good name to start with. Maybe it's a pseudonym. We used to rewind the harrowing film Escape from Sobibor every time our hum teacher, humanities, what would hum be?
Yeah.
Every time our teacher left the room. So this is a classroom where they were being shown a movie, right?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes if you're lucky towards the end of the term, they'll show you a movie vaguely connected to something you're studying.
Right.
It's just an excuse for the teacher
to
be lazy.
I remember Escape from Sobibor.
But this class rewound it every time, so they started from the beginning and watched the same bit for about a year. So they made a, like, 90-minute feature last a year. We also used to sing Happy Birthday to her at the beginning of every lesson. That's nice and abstract, because it's so joyful, you can't interrupt a round of Happy Birthday. It's not my... Here's another one from Jill. My uncle used to get sent out of class and stand in the quad by the classroom window. Okay. When the teacher then handed books out, the class passed them along and out the window to him, and he hid them all. I like the idea of passing books around a classroom and then them just going out the window.
Yeah.
Another one from Jim in Hackney. When Mr. Jackson left our chemistry class in a rage of fury at someone setting fire to a textbook, we put sellotape across the door so he became entangled like a big fly when he burst back in. That's quite good, isn't it?
That sounds a bit out of hand, though. You're burning the
books. I know,
the
fire... Let's forget the fire thing and just go with the innocent japery of the sellotape.
The fun sellotape jape.
Yeah. Okay, one last one. And this is kind of like a French art movie sort of thing. Hi, Adam and Joe. In my old school, there was a supply teacher who was known for being a real pushover. You could do almost anything in her classes without fear of punishment. This reached its zenith when a particularly naughty kid stripped down to his Y fronts and began smoking one of his dad's cigars. That's the sort of thing Gérard Depardieu did as a boy in school, don't you think?
I mean, that's way out of control. It's difficult for the supply teachers as well, because they often, you know, they don't have the relationship there with the children.
It's way out of control and way into cool troll.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind of thing that Tom Cruise might have done.
Exactly. It's wrong, but yet right, but wrong.
Yeah.
No, bad, good, bad.
Nakedness is a good one. Oh, it's a problematic area, though, isn't it?
It is these days, yeah. But Y-fronts, there's nothing sexual about Y-fronts.
I don't know.
It's been tested. No.
If your teacher got down to his Y-fronts, so that would be a problem, wouldn't
it? No, there's nothing sexual about Y-fronts. They were designed by the British in the to stop people becoming aroused in the military.
You're happy with a teacher in Y-fronts?
Anyone in Y-fronts. There's nothing sexual. They're revolting.
Okay, this is official then. Joe Cornish, BBC, says there's no problem with teachers just wearing Y-fronts.
Or kids. Anyone can wear Y-fronts. They're designed to cancel out any kind of sexual feelings.
It's totally appropriate for any situation.
Moving on.
Hi, this is A Sexy Woman, and you're listening to the highlights of the Adam and Joe BBC Six Music show. Ooh, this podcast has got me so hot. I'm too hot. I'm going to have to sit down and take off my cardigan. Ooh, I'm boiling.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We've been talking about weird commercials over the last few weeks. Adam, you had a bit of a problem with the Clearasil advert with the mum and the boyfriend and the daughter on the sofa.
Yes, thanks to everybody who explained that to me, by the way.
You were having some problems with Andy McDowell's hair advert.
Yes, she's got storylines instead of just wrinkles.
Yeah, someone was suggesting, I can't remember who it was, someone sent in an email suggesting that if you had a double chin, you could call it your subplot.
That's very good.
I'll try and find that person's name to give them credit. But I've spotted an advert that's weirding me out for a new breakfast cereal called Optivita.
Oh, yes.
And it's from Kellogg's. There are many other companies that make cereals and many other cereals available. Mm. And I'm not talking really about the product here. I must be careful to stress just the advert for the product. It starts off with a chef called Aldo Zilli. He's Italian.
Yeah.
And he has this sort of silly Italian accent, you know. He probably just talks like this when he's off camera.
Yeah.
But when he's on camera, he talks like this.
I know, Zilli.
He's walking through a market full of fresh produce. Ooh. Ooh, it's so fresh and good for you.
Yeah.
And he's talking about cholesterol and how if you've got high cholesterol, you have to watch what you eat, right?
You have to watch everything. You're living on a knife edge.
People are always saying, don't eat that, mate. It's not good for your cholesterol.
Nah,
oh, no, it's not good for my cholesterol. Right? It's like the Dolmio. This is a terrible stereotype. It's like the Dolmio family, you know?
Right, yeah.
I'm not reflecting the way real Italians speak.
No.
I have to be so careful here on the big British castle. It's a minefield. Anyway, he's walking through this market. He starts banging on about this new cereal, Optivita. And he says, it's a specifically designed to combat the cholesterol. Literally like that. Now, this is my point. He says, specifically designed. And he makes a great play of the word specifically.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they've got him, because he's Italian and he doesn't say specifically. He says specifically.
Right.
And they're so pleased with the way he says specifically that they've put it on the box in huge letters. Specifically designed to lower cholesterol. Now, why does it matter that it's specifically designed? You know, would it matter if something was accidentally designed to lower cholesterol? We have two cereals. This one accidentally lower cholesterol. This one specifically lower cholesterol. Oh, choose the specifically lower cholesterol. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, because, you know it's going to do a really amazing job.
Because it's... But what if something does a better job and isn't specifically developed?
That's not as good because, you know, scientists weren't involved.
Watch out, here's another little bit. It might be wicked. It might be one of the weaker bits. But that's cool. I like weaker bits. I can handle up to three.
Let's have a look at some of these texts that have come in. Here's someone called RME. They're going to remain anonymous. Apart from that, in primary school, inspired by a Grange Hill story involving humming during classes, an angry teacher was targeted and the mental destruction began over a long period. During the final term, he was continually hummed at. Humming would pass like a torch from one person to another. It was cruel, as he would have to chase the hum around the classroom. I won't go into what happened to him. No, but he was fine. But humming is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's very destructive, and that's really...
But that's classic. That's an age-old thing.
It's a good way to undermine. If the teacher... Yeah, if it's an unpopular teacher.
Because you can't tell who's doing it.
Or the other thing to do is whenever the teacher says or ah, you just say to make him totally nervous, and you can do that with a teacher.
Don't do that. Don't do any of these things,
never
listeners.
Do this.
Once when I was 15, we had a supply teacher for English. Due to a leak in our classroom, we were moved to the home economics room, which had a large cupboard at the back, hidden by a giant poster. When the supply teacher came in, we all stood up. She went to get some paper from the English room, and the whole class piled into the cupboard and hid. She came back and couldn't work out where we were. She came back with the head, and we all fell out of the cupboard. She cried. Don't do that. That's an example of something not to do. Here's another example of something never to do. In an attempt to wind up the IT staff, I put a series of password-protected bespoke screensavers on the library computers. They featured Richard Nixon saying hello on an endless loop. Unfortunately, this ended up annoying only the librarian, who was a lovely woman and a friend of my mother's.
There you go.
Typical. Shouldn't have done it. Here's another one. At college, we used to wind up the principal by implying that he was an alcoholic and placing adverts on the notice board for his car and other possessions that needed to be sold due to urgent debts with his direct telephone number. It was funny. Cheers, James.
See, that's
don't do that.
No, very few of these people are actually trying to make amends or apologise for the things they've done.
Here's another one. At the start of our very first physics lesson at my new school, the teacher announced, "You can give me any nickname you like as long as you don't call me Biggles." Guess what we called him for the next 5 years? Sorry, Biggles, from Stuart in Liverpool.
There you go.
So there must be, as part of teacher's training, a section of the course that teaches you how to deal with at least the classic sort of teacher trickery.
Yeah, Pranks 101, surely.
Humming is so old. I mean, that's been going on for hundreds of years. Uh-huh. There must be an agreed technique to dealing with humming. Maybe it's just attention.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just an iron fist. How would you deal with it, Teacher Buckles?
You got to earn their trust, don't you? You've got to. I would do some rapping. I would make up a rap about how it's bad to hum, and then I would do the rap
kids
to the class
because
the kids
rap.
Love rap. They love to rap. So I'd say, "Okay, hey, class, calm down. Whoa. Listen, can I just say to you this?" And I'd say it like that as well.
Yeah. What would you rhyme with humming?
Yeah.
Hey there, kids. Stop your humming.
Hey there, kids.
You got trouble coming.
If you're not careful, you're going to be slumming in a world where humming ain't acceptable in that way. Hey, just stop that. Otherwise, I'm going to have to give you a smack, you prat.
At that point, your head is struck by 50 textbooks.
No, it isn't. We used to think Mr. Buckles
idiot.
Was a jerk. But then he started rapping and he really won me over. I'm not going to misbehave in Dr. Buckles' class anymore.
Here's another one from Rob. I rolled up a bundle of my cat's surplus fur and glued it into my exercise book before handing it in to my cat-hating maths teacher. Sadly, he turned out to hate cats because he was very allergic to them and ended up in A&E. I was so guilt-ridden, I worked ultra hard at maths and somehow ended up doing a PhD in maths. So the joke's on me now.
Ended up in A&E. That's an extraordinary roller coaster of consequences there.
This is from Rich P. in Gloucester, aged 33. I turned my exercise book upside down and gave myself a new name on the back cover to fool a substitute teacher.
Richie P., my man.
The name he gave himself was Barry de Radish. Barry de Radish, what do you think about that?
You said Barry de Radish.
Here's another one. Hello, I'm Luke, and once I was the editor of my school magazine. I filled it with some rebellious satire. There was something about the food. We rewrote the sports reports as if I were 8, and we said the headmaster was a racist. The teacher meant to be in charge almost lost his job.
Of course, how can you get away with that in the school mag?
Another one, Katie says, during our German classes, when the teacher was writing on the board, we used to stand up and shout, cabbages. By the time the teacher turned round, we'd be sitting in our seats. He just looked totally bemused and never once said anything. See, that's a good tactic.
Yeah.
Just freeze the kids out.
Yeah, psych them out. Just say, act as if it's totally normal. Cabbages. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I think the teacher's got the right way to go around it.
Definitely.
And here's another classic one from Phil Gallagher. He says, every time a particular one of our teachers looked down in one lesson, we all shuffled our tables forward a tiny bit and ended up encircling him in a corner.
Hey, we did that.
That's
one.
That's a classic.
That's
one.
That's a good one.
You do it incrementally, the teacher doesn't notice.
Yes.
That's
brilliant. Smash.
That's time. Allowed, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like classic stuff. That's actually permitted. I think it's illegal for a school to punish you for that.
If they turn round as well and go to the blackboard, you sort of creep forward. That is a good one. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, that is a good
Any
one.
Any from the teachers at all?
Yeah.
Too
do you
boring?
Want the teacher one? No, here's the teacher one. It's from Mark Johnson. Hi. I feel the need to let you know about teachers' tricks, too. When invigilating exams, teachers play a few different games as the little lovelies are bent over their tests. Game number one, walk around the desks in the shape of letters, usually spelling out swear words.
No, they don't do that.
Number two, standing by the ugliest child.
Spelling out swear words. I can't believe it. Wait, standing by the ugliest
child.
Yeah,
this one I've heard before, that like if there's two teachers invigilating an exam, one will just go, ugliest. One will go, okay. And then they wander around and stand by the ugliest one.
That's a good game.
And then number three is wandering around, but when you come to the front, add a line to a limerick, usually an offensive one about the kids. Ah, the sweet taste of revenge. Another teacher texted in and said, just, you know, you mustn't forget that teachers go into the common room at the end of every lesson and exchange very cruel stories about the children, their hopeless complexions,
of course,
their futures, their appalling sex lives, their home lives, the stench that follows them around, the status of their brain.
That's right.
You know,
all of these things have probably featured in the hit TV show Teachers at one point or another, wouldn't you say?
That's probably true,
with Andrew Lincoln.
Do you want a couple more?
Yeah, go on.
From Bruce in Streatham, there were four of us waiting to see the headmaster for some foul crime, I forget what. His admin lady or secretary, who wasn't actually a teacher, came out and asked us if we were waiting to see the head. In a moment of complete madness, I piped up with, no, I'm waiting to see the whole of his body. She rushed off fuming. The beauty of this story is that one of the other boys had the same surname and hair as me, and he was bigger and of a less punishable disposition. He got blamed. I gained credit for this great piece of wit for a day or so before I got back to being bullied. I'm happy now, says Bruce in Streatham.
Well done, Bruce. Skills.
There you go. Another one from Stephen Hinchley Wood. At my school, we had a very kindly bearded physics teacher who was close to retirement. He was a victim of humming and other japes. But the funniest one was when he was asked by one of the kids, "Sir, do you have any photos of your wife naked?" He, of course, replied in an outraged tone, "No!" To which the kid replied immediately, "Would you want to buy some?"
Nice. And I think that is where we should probably leave it. Thank you very much indeed for all your texts and emails.
We don't encourage or condone that kind of behaviour. You should be nice and respectful to teachers, and teachers should be nice and respectful to children.
Absolutely. More love in the classroom, please.
Just talking.
So there we go. That was this week's podcast.
You know, people listen to this podcast. Did you know that?
Why?
I don't know why, but they do. I went to see the Spiderwick Chronicles at the IMAX the
Good
other
film.
Day.
I enjoyed that film.
I took my sons along and my mum came along with me. Granny was helping out for the day.
Right.
And the lady who was taking our tickets, she recognised me.
Really?
Yeah. And she said, and I wasn't quite sure. It was one of those moments where she sort of went, "Oh," and didn't actually say anything. But then after giving us our tickets, she said, "Could you sign this for me?" Oh. And I still wasn't quite sure if I was just signing for the tickets or signing something for her. Do you know, because it was a credit card booking thing. So I said, "What should I put?" And she said, "Oh, to Charlie." So I was like, "Oh, okay, right. It is a signature I'm giving." And then my mum was all confused because she was saying, "What was that all about?" And I said, "Oh, she listens to our podcast. She likes our podcast." She said, "Oh, right. Well, she was talking about Charlie. I thought it was some drug thing."
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was a signing for the Charlie before going to see the Spiderwick Chronicles. It wasn't that. No. That's not the kind of thing.
But
that
if she listens to
IMAX
our podcast,
does.
She's probably on some kind of medication.
Possibly, no. She was very beautiful. So,
was
you know,
she?
We've got attractive people that listen to the
she
podcast.
She should have chronicled her Spiderwicks. I was recognised by someone in when I went to see Speed the Plough.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was it David Mamet that recognised you?
He didn't say anything. But I could tell.
Right.
He
Jeff
looked
Goldblum.
At me with a naughty glint in his eye. Yeah, just Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. "You're that guy who saw Independence Day."
Yeah. "You're the guy that loves Roland Emmerich's worst films." Oh, dear. Touched the nerve. You can't say anything Godzilla. Bad about Godzilla.
Didn't know he directed Independence Day, and Jeff Goldblum was in Independence Day, so Jeff's a fan of Roland, and therefore me and Jeff are on the same side versus you, and he's better mates with me than you.
Yep. But I'm going to get you because Spacey's on my side.
You can have Spacey.
Me and K-Pax, we're going to get you.
You're welcome to Spacey. He's very talented.
Have you seen K-Pax?
No.
What's the point of that film? Have you never seen it?
No.
You should see it.
I don't want to.
Anyway, thanks very much for listening, listeners. Take care. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music.